In the 1970s, Kurt Tomitz was a bookseller on Manhattan's Upper East Side, the East Coast epicenter of the rich and famous. One day, the legendary fashion editor and tastemaker Diana Vreeland invited Tomitz to come over to her house and make sense of her library.
Diana Vreeland was the first person to hire me. The first line of Mrs. Vreeland's autobiography is something I learned from her. She said, "I loathe nostalgia." And the sentimentality of most book collecting doesn't interest me. I have made a sometimes goodish sum off people in their weaknesses. It's their vice. My book collection I use.
Over the past 20 years, Kurt Tomitz has created or organized libraries for Diane Sawyer and Mike Nichols and Calvin Klein and dozens of other people. I visited with Tomitz in his Jewel Box library in a dark, dense duplex in the Brooklyn Heights neighborhood. The collection that Tomitz loves the best fills just one shelf, 240 little blue and green paper pamphlets. He pulled one down to read.
I first came across Mabel the Sweet Honey That Poured Away. And Mabel had a sneaker imprint in dirt on her cover, and I picked it up and I fell in love. I mean, Mabel the Sweet Honey That Poured Away. Her skin would make your blood flow in the wrong direction. She was so sweet and sexy, knew how to romance. She married at 16. She wanted more fun, yet it ended at 17. And what an end? So thrilling. I mean, and the first sentence, "Have you ever looked at a girl's skin and felt that if you pinched her, she would shed blood? A skin as smooth as glass and also round and plumpy, no trace of nerves or bone on the skin." Oh, and then he goes on, "She's hot." And I thought it was like an underground comic at first.
What are these stories, and are they all of a piece? Is it a genre?
These are the first books written by Africans and printed by Africans for Africans. The Onitsha market is the largest marketplace in sub-Sahara Africa. It's in Ibu land, which would become Biafra. In 1948, prosperity came to Ibu land. Down the river, in Ija land, oil was discovered. And at this time, the people embraced what came with this new prosperity, education and literacy. These little pamphlets are written by taxi drivers, Sunday school teachers, secondary school teachers, guys that sold in the market. They might sell machine parts, they might sell monkey skulls, they might sell yams. These are written by semi-literates for illiterates about us, about literates, about the modern world and how different it is. This is a whole change of consciousness. What you see in the pamphletry is the impact of American and some Western European pop society on a traditional oral African society.
Here's Adventures of the Four Stars, which seems to have lifted a picture
of Paladin.
A paladin from our television youths and put it on the cover. Can you read a little bit of this?
"This Adventurers in Ignorance portrays a class of radical stars whose love for adventure landed them into many troubles. Their utter disrespect for the law is toughest. They started first as a group of three boys and a girl whose secondary education was known as the Four Stars, who rocked and crooked the suburbs of old Lagos, all the time dodging the law and the blue guys and the deals. The saying that a star is born and not made leaves the reader to prove if he is a star or a mug. But remember, a mug could be fearfully tough, sleek-headed, and hard as a nut. It is a shattering story for those guys who love to handle quids and adventure. This is the age of radical stars. Am I a star? Am I? then read on and enjoy the fun. Once a star, always a star.
That is stunning.
There was a rawness here after I got so tired of reading commercial, homogenized fiction. And this stuff was so refreshing. They took the rules of vocabulary and threw them out the window. They didn't know the cliches to tell you the cliches. I came to prefer them. The two shelves you see above are about all you can know about the Ibu people.
It must be, as you've suggested, gratifying to sort of have read this entire body of literature, to know as much as anyone in the world about it. Is there, on the other hand, anything slightly melancholic about knowing that this is not a living literature any longer?
Well, it's a tragic story. It's a great tragedy. The Biafra War was the first televised genocide. It was a horrific scene. None of the writers of the pieces in my book are alive. By the end of the war, Eastern Nigeria had been sealed off, starved to death, bombed into oblivion. Millions of people died. This is from The Master of Life, Okenwa Olisha's No Condition is Permanent. No condition is permanent in the world, but fools do not know. A person could eat on the plate in the afternoon and eat on the ground in the evening. Things could be good for you this year and become bad next year. Things could become bad for 6 years and become easy in the seventh year. You could rejoice in the morning and cry in the afternoon. You could cry in the afternoon and rejoice in the evening, because things are not what they seem, and life, you see, is nothing but an empty dream.
You can read pieces from Kurt Tomitz's collection of African market literature in his book, an anthology called Life Turns Man Up and Down. To find out more, visit our website, studio360.org.